97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, time to check in with the legend himself, the great Craig Bowler Jack, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us on a game day. Bowler, how the heck are you?
Hey, Bowler.
Scotty, Hans, how are you guys?
Better now.
Yeah, better now. We're talking to you.
No, man. Hey, Hans, I want to congratulate my friend just on being a hell of a broadcaster. That's all I want to say. Let's move on.
Do you have the breaking sounder, Lloyd?
No.
can you break that now, or is it legal? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Just wanted to try to be one of the first.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Good.
It's
official?
It's official. Well, no.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I do. And Bowler, I think we should break it.
I'm all for it, man. That's what radio's for, man.
It was
all for breaking news.
It was down to the top two in the state of Utah. I mean,
I thought that was in the country.
No. But close, you know.
I will say this: that coming from you, that means more than you'll ever know. I really appreciate that.
No, man. I wanted to be hopefully one of the first, you know, but on your time.
You know how these guys are. They tell you to keep things under wraps for a bit.
I know. It's like the Heisman vote. I totally understand.
I'm down for whatever. I'm all good. I will say this. I was extremely shocked to get a phone call on Monday. I was blown away.
No. It's well deserved. The rumor, if I may say, the rumor is that Mr. Scott Girard is the Utah Sportscaster of the Year. That's what I was calling to congratulate you to. So if I get in trouble, that's fine. At least that's the rumor.
Well, I will say this, Bowler, if that in fact is the case,
as
the great Carl Malone once said when receiving an MVP, I'm just grateful you let me borrow the trophy for a year.
There you go. It's great. It's good. It's fantastic.
Oh, man, you're the best. I appreciate that.
Sure. Absolutely.
So let's talk some Jazz basketball, shall we?
Yeah, let's do. Let's figure this out.
What's going on?
Well, you know, I tell you, you have to ask a former professional there sitting next to you with Hans, but I tell you, confidence is a thin line, and I just find it so intriguing that you can play so well, and then just, you know, this is, we had these discussions last year as well. Just the fortitude to finish, the confidence to finish, the ability, and I think the Jazz have it, to put teams away, but it's that up and down, all around type of situation that are the reason why the Jazz were 4-4. The one good positive, I think, coming out of Rudy Gobert's discussion with the media this morning is the rarity of having a shoot around this year. You know, even though this is game 9, the Jazz really have had little time to get on the floor and practice and maybe just iron things out. But I thought it was good that on this road trip, you finally got a chance to step away out of the hotel room into a gym and actually get a pregame, you know, workout in. And that's a good thing, I think. I'm going to talk to Quinn about it later before the tip-off tonight, just what they accomplished and maybe just to, you know, shake off some doubt. So good team, but there's a lot of good teams in the NBA, and you have to finish them. And I think you saw a team in New York that is being coached by, you know, Tom Thibodeau, who's a disciplinarian and got their attention. The Jazz let off the pedal, and you get a New York Knicks win. You blow an 18-point lead, and you get a shot at, you know, you get a shot at it again tonight. But the other part of it too, guys, I think is just the 3-point shot. You can live and die by it, and it's a beautiful thing when it goes in. But the long rebounds, the transition, and letting, you know, the opponent knock down threes is telling. So it's a big test tonight because the Bucks are just lights out from downtown. That's going to be a big challenge for Utah.
So there was some concern that the last couple of guards that the Jazz have faced, and Kyrie Irving and Austin Rivers, and maybe you could even look at Peyton to a certain extent, that they are running roughshod over the Jazz. And I think that a lot of people want to look at Royce O'Neal and his exterior defense and, you know, point the finger there and blame it on Royce. I just want to know from your point of view, how responsible is Royce for that, and what can Royce do to be maybe a little bit more active, a little bit more physical, and a little bit more usable for the Jazz?
Well, I'll look at Royce's play, and he's a in-your-chest kind of guy. He rides you close, and if it's outside, the rotations, you know, you can talk all you want about the defensive schemes of how the Jazz run hands, but, you know, it's just not on one guy. I mean, it's Rudy coming out, which he has, and trying to sag back. And, you know, Royce is the point guy, I think, in this discussion, because he is usually put on the toughest offensive weapon that the opponent will put on the floor. So the chances of getting burned obviously is more pointed towards him, but still the Jazz play a way where, you know, you sag off, you have to get help. And, you know, we saw a lot of times in the New York game, I think at least twice, that there were just blown defensive assignments, you know, back cuts, baseline, Rudy's up, nobody came back to fill. So all those things come into play. You know, he's rebounding the ball. When he shoots the three, he's been really, you know, really consistent from there. But again, the Jazz, if they want to be the elite team that they say they want to be, then it has to be, you know, hands, in my opinion, shared in the blame. And it's still, you know, the fact of rotating and helping. I know that sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's still, I think, at times you see the Jazz a bit confused, even though this team's been together, you know, for a couple of years now. You'd think they'd just be, it'd be a song and dance, you know, getting it done. But I still think there's some mix-ups, and they're going to have to just figure it out. I know that doesn't sound like a promising thing for fans, but it's early. And that's the one thing that I'm seeing. The Jazz are 4-4, still in the middle of the pack of the West. There's a lot of teams right now that if you look at the standings, you just kind of scratch your head. I don't know if it's the bubble effect, the lack of preparation in the off season, and the quick. This is game four of the last six nights. And so it's going to be that way the rest of the year. I mean, you'll get 72 games in. You're going to see a lot of back-to-backs and a lot of just every other day play. So it is what it is, and the Jazz are going to have to adjust to it.
Craig Buller, Jack, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I should probably not ask this question without having my theories on how the rotation should be played out, but I don't know whose minutes should be sacrificed, but I am a little surprised that you're only seeing Derek Favors out there 14 minutes a game. Are you surprised that number is not a little bit higher?
Well, you know, I think, again, it's still that work in progress. But I think Faves, you know, knows what his role is. I don't think he would have come back, Scotty, unless he knew that it was spelled out for him by Dennis and Quinn. I think you're going to see those numbers probably go up and down all year long, depending on matchups, whether small ball, if he finishes, if Gobert has foul trouble. And, you know, they were able to stay on the floor back and forth, what was it, three games ago when they both were in big foul trouble. But they were able to still, you know, back and forth in minutes and survive without fouling out. So it's great to have him because it gives the Jazz a bona fide backup. Nothing against Tony, who was still in that developmental stage. But this is a true veteran of the NBA and knows the Jazz system, and one reason why the Jazz were excited to bring him back. But, you know, I've been asked that a lot. What are the minutes for Faves? And, you know, he says he'd love to play 23, 24. Who wouldn't? Some nights he may get that and more. Other nights, I don't know if he's going to get more than 12 to 14. So it's something just to watch. And I think, again, Quinn is trying to use Rudy and Derek in the best positions he can for the matchups they have. And sometimes they may play together. I don't know. As the season goes on, this whole thing may develop, and we'll watch it develop, as I'm guessing it will.
Something I think that's really fascinating about the Jazz since Quinn Snyder got there was when the Jazz are struggling, the players take all the blame. And Quinn Snyder typically doesn't take a lot of blame. I think people have so much respect for him that they just give him credit and say, I'm sure he's doing everything he can. But do you believe that there's more that Quinn can do? Do you believe that he's on the right track, Buller? And I, as a former player, I know coaches always had some level of blame. Do you think some of this struggle comes back to him?
That's another good question. I think he'd be the first one to put it on himself, two hands, like a lot of coaches will try to do, take the pressure off of the players. You know, there hasn't been an eruption in these early goings. I think what you see is still calm. There's still confidence within the group. You know, the seven-game road trip probably didn't come at the greatest of times, but at the same time, the Jazz did play well, you know, on the road last year, and they started playing well on the road, and they had struggles at home. You know, it's a good question. You know, I think Quinn, after the bubble, he told me, you know, and he told us all, actually, on Zoom, on the way we're doing life now, you know, through interviewing. It's hard to really get a one-on-one personal discussion going because you're sharing the screen with so many people. But I think he realized he wanted to, you know, see the pace up. He wanted to shoot the three more because of the talent level that he has. So maybe, again, as he's on the road, he pulls back and rediscovers something that he wants to do. You know, Hans, it's early, but again, this will all play out, right? It will all play out. You know, eight games now going into nine games in. And always, I think Quinn's a guy that never panics. And I think fans do. And the questions always come up in the media about, you know, what's wrong, what can be fixed. But I've never seen him to be a panic guy. And I don't sense that right now with him or the team. But again, like I said, we're eight games in. Probably 20 games in is a pretty good mark. That would give the Jazz, what, 52 to play? It's a long season, even though it's 72 instead of 82. But I think after 20, you get a better feel for what direction you're going and how the league or how the conference is starting to kind of work its way out. Maybe a little early, but still, obviously, knowing Quinn, this discussion about what needs to be done, what can be done, is he talks about it 24/7. He's probably one of the most intense coaches I've met in my years of covering college and, you know, NFL, NBA. And he's a guy that works 24/7. If he gets an hour of sleep, I'm surprised on this road trip.
Craig Buller, Jack, joining us right here on the Zone Sports Network. So you brought up an interesting point. You know, I know the old adage in baseball is you know who you are around Memorial Day. In basketball, you said about 20 games. Is that where you kind of put it, as when you get a good vibe for who a team is?
Yeah. I mean, look, Boyan's coming off wrist surgery, and he doesn't look right. And that's pretty clear for anybody watching. And, you know, he put a brace on the other night when he played well. And then it's just the inconsistency of his game. I'm not a believer he's forgot how to shoot. I think, Hans, as you know, the confidence factor, you think pro athletes or amateur athletes as well. I mean, I tell you, confidence, you know, it's thin. And I think right now he's just trying to gauge. Coming back from an injury, and Hans, you can speak to this. And, you know, with my short stay with knees and stuff, you know, trying to figure out who you are, what you are, if you fall. You want to fall. You want to put the hand on the floor. I wanted to put my leg on the ground again just so when I knew I got up from having, you know, ACL reconstruction, I said, oh, wow, man, I survived that. So now you move on. I think after a while, you know, you just have to – that night that you forget it hurts, or the night you forget it wasn't a big issue, is the night you're back. I'm not sure he's there yet, Hans. I really don't.
I agree with that. And there is something to that, Buller, with that first heavy jab step that you take on that leg that's repaired, the ankle that was ripped up, the hand that was broken. I had pins put in my hand, and 3 weeks in, had to get back out on the field. And, you know, you throw that hand up into the pad, and it's a lot of pain. But then eventually there comes a time where you've taken enough painkillers. So you throw the hand up there. It doesn't break. It doesn't cause you pain to want to pull the hand back. And you leave it up there, and you think, all right, here we go. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a fine line of confidence and just forgetting about it. And when you finally realize you played a whole game and it wasn't even a factor in your mind, then you start to say, I'm back. And it has to be, you know, on a consistent basis too. So part of that, I think all eyes on Boyan. And then, of course, all eyes on Donovan, who wants to lead this team, and, you know, he's had some struggles as well. So the three ball, like I said, when it works, it's a beautiful thing, and everybody really gets excited about it. There's a lot of talent on this team that can actually knock down the three. But what I've always been surprised about with the Jazz, it seems like it becomes the flu. It's like not just one or two guys are off. It seems like the whole rotation of the threes is off. And I don't know if that's because it's pressure, if it stops the rotation. Because when the Jazz move the ball, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's just the way it is, and the open shot is there. I think Donovan especially has been forced to some late shot clock, you know, shots, three-point shots, Hans and Scotty, which, again, is disruptive in the flow. And, you know, players in this game is all about rhythm. And I don't think the Jazz have had the consistent rhythm they have to have if they're going to be an elite team.
Bowler, can't thank you enough for coming on. You're a great guy, man. I appreciate it. And
hey, man,
thanks again for everything.
You know, it's Friday, right hands, TGIF, and Scotty's the man. And that's the way it should be.
It's time to let the hair down. Make some announcements.
There's no hair to be let down. Those days are behind us.
Well, Scotty, look, man, you can let, you know, unbutton a shirt one button. Yeah, that's kind of getting...
Yeah, he's doing more than that in his hotel room.
Yeah, you'll like this, Bowler. I'm in Lubbock, Texas, because Utah State's playing New Mexico, and they won't let him play in the pit because of the COVID restrictions in the state of New Mexico. So we are now playing these two games in Lubbock, Texas, of all places.
I've been there, and I do miss the pit. Called a couple of games myself in one of the most harsh environments in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
During the day. Yeah. And it still has a great flavor to it. And I know you'd miss that. The Pitt versus Lubbock. I mean, come on. I mean,
we're playing a Mountain West Conference game between two good Mountain West Conference teams that should be playing in the Pitt. And
yeah,
we're playing at Lubbock Christian University that seats about, I don't know, it's a community college that probably, and they're not letting any fans in, but the arena itself, I should call it a gymnasium, seats about 600. There's probably a good majority of high school gyms in Utah that seat more than where we're at right now. So, 2021,
that's why,
man.
Scotty in hands. That's why he's at the top of his game right now.
100%, man.
See, it's the adjustments. Bully. It's the adjustments you have to make to continue in the perfection of your craft, and that's what you're doing, my friend.
Looks like we might have lost Scotty. Bowler.
Did I get cut off?
No, yeah. I think Scotty might have dropped. Bowler, seriously.
Sounds like he dropped off.
You're the best, or maybe Scotty's just bowing out and saying, man, maybe I'd have just let Bowler take
it. Oh, I love it, man. But no, hey, Hans, great. Have a great weekend, man. Good chat, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds great, Bowler. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
There you go, Craig Bowler Jack, the voice of the Utah Jazz, congratulating Scotty, the voice of the Utah State Aggies, with a big announcement I'm sure coming soon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back to Sports Roulette. That's all coming up next.
Let's go! The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
We've seen it now two games in a row where the Jazz shoot a poor field goal percentage, they get out-rebounded, and they have more turnovers than their opponent. That's going to get you beat, especially when your opponent is shooting better than 50%.
The whole starting lineup disappeared all at the same time, and we haven't really seen that often from this team. And I think the point of having all this, you know, quote-unquote firepower is that if somebody is not shooting well, there's somebody else who's out there canning shots. And your starting five just disappeared.
And when your top scorers, Mitchell, Bogdanovich, Conley, go 13 of 47 from the field, you're just not going to win.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Welcome back, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 in the Zone of the Zone Sports Network. You're hearing this song because there was an announcement that was coming on Monday that actually came a little bit early, which would be this Friday, in regards to Scotty and a certain award that will be given to him coming up on Monday that we weren't supposed to announce today but was prematurely announced. I don't know how to talk about it, but I will tell you that Scotty.
I think we don't talk about it. How about that? No, Lloyd.
Nobody's saying anything about the award. I mean, nobody's mentioned it. All we're saying is that there's an award coming on Monday that was supposed to be announced on Monday that was announced just earlier today, but that we will hold that announcement for on Monday. But we feel like it would be awkward to not acknowledge that that announcement was made today.
Yeah, you know, that's
so funny.
I will say this. You know what? When Bowler wants to announce something, I'm just going to get the heck out of the way.
You let him go, man.
Yeah, because he's the best.
You let 100%. Him go. But we will have a big party on Monday. This will be a lot of fun.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's a lot of objections to the vote count, and there's a lot of people looking at it and saying, no way that happened. It's got to be fake news. So I'm sure there'll be many, many recounts because it doesn't make any sense.
Do you think there's some hanging chads?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Do you? I wonder. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we should probably shut up.
Yep,
now.
Yep, not the time.
Yep. All right, time for another edition of Sports Roulette. Take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to.
And we will load them up on the wheel, Lloyd. And we will spin it as soon as we get Scotty back. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties in Lubbock. I don't know what's falling apart in Lubbock, but his signal has held just fine over the last couple of days. And then all of a sudden, his signal decides that it doesn't want to hold anymore. So, Scotty, you were just saying, let's spin the wheel.
Yeah, let's fire up that wheel.
The GOAT.
Scotty, tragic news coming out of Annapolis. Retired Navy football GOAT mascot Bill number 33 has died. He was 14 years old. They called him Blue Eyes. He is the only Navy mascot, you know, the goat that's wrapped and painted. He's the only Navy mascot in the history of these goats that had blue eyes.
And, oh, wow.
And he has passed away. The Angora goat was donated to the Academy along with Bill 34 back in 2007. He reigned supreme as the mascot from 2007 to 2015. And at 2015, he took on a mentorship and retired and enjoyed retirement. They went into kind of a detailed story of what he did in retirement. And, Scotty, I think it's what you and I would love to do in retirement, but something that you and I will not talk about. the Academy notes that Bill 33 will be remembered and memorialized in a plaque, and it's a pretty cool story for a little goat that had a dream.
Oh, 14 years as a goat. Is that like a normal timeline for, like, I don't know my ages for goats. I just don't know if that's right, if that's the normal lifespan of a goat. I don't know. Do you have any info on that?
Yeah, I do. That is right about in the median for a goat. That, you know, there are different breeds of goats, but the median is about 15 years lifespan. They can live up to 18, 19 years, but for the most part, the Angola goat is just right in that 15-year mark. Actually, the Anglo goat is actually 12 years. So he must have lived a pretty good life. So good for him. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
The votes are in.
Well, obviously, the college awards were handed out yesterday evening, and I would say Alabama pretty much just cleaned up the slate. I don't want to go into many of them, but I will mention a few of them. And again, most of them include Alabama, and probably rightfully so. Alabama, the most dominant team in the country. The Broyles Award went to a former BYU Cougar. The Broyles Award is the best assistant coach in the country, and that went to Steve Sarkisian. The Bednarik Award goes to the best defensive player, and that went to Zaven Collins of Tulsa. I'm always interested in the Outland Trophy Award. My uncle won it years and years ago. My uncle Merlin won it. It goes to the best interior lineman, and this year it went to Alex Leatherwood of Alabama. The Davey O'Brien Award, best quarterback in the country, went to Alabama's quarterback, Mac Jones. And then the Walter Camp Award, which is the Player of the Year award, went to Devontae Smith of Alabama. And I didn't think it was any surprise that the Home Depot Award, which goes to the Coach of the Year, which I don't think you should be able to buy that award. I wish that would be just some type of traditional award to one of the greatest coaches named after the greatest coach. But that went to Jamie Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina coach that put together a game plan that dismantled BYU. And I will tell you, just having been able to cover that game, watch it very closely, do pre and post, and give some thoughts on it, Chadwell is very deserving of that label. His team was just incredible. All right, there you go, some of your awards. Lloyd, once again, real quick, spin it.
If you can't beat them, extend them.
So we were talking about Harbaugh a little bit early in the show, and it looks like Michigan is going to be extending Jim Harbaugh. And Scotty, this is the way I'd like to see it done. And I know that maybe Michigan fans are done with him and they want to see him move on and blah, blah, blah. But we know that Harbaugh is a good coach. He's done a lot in his time in college coaching. So instead of Michigan running him off, it's looking like they're going to extend him 5 years, but they're going to drop his base salary from $8 million down to $4 million and then give him approximately $4 million of incentives to get back to the $8 million. I don't know if there's any more breaking news on this, but this morning when I was reading kind of what Michigan was planning to do with Jim Harbaugh, I love it. I love the idea. Keep some continuity. He's obviously a good coach. He's just got to get the right players, and he can do some good things, but drop his pay down. Give him some incentive to win.
Looking at his record at Michigan, I mean, they've won some games, and overall, he at Michigan is 49-22, 34-16 in Big Ten games. They were 2-4 this last year, but I don't know if anybody really looks at what happened last year with any amount of credibility. But he's gone 10-3, 10-3, 8-5, 10-3, 9-4. And he's done good things for Michigan. He just can't beat Ohio State, and he can't have one of those magical years where you're in the college football playoff. And $8 million is too much. And so I like, you know, and frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if Jim Harbaugh didn't come in and say, hey, look at this. You know what? I want to be here. I want to coach here. Knock my salary down. Give me some incentives. And I guarantee, Hans, those bonuses and those incentives are going to be pretty easily received. Like, you know, finish in the top third of your division, stuff like that. Like, I'm sure he'll get back the majority of that money, but I don't hate at all making it performance-based.
This is what I'd like to see. I think that this is the right thing to do. And, okay, so you want him to beat Ohio State? Well, give him an incentive bonus of $500,000. And, you know, maybe he pays closer attention. Maybe he works harder on a game plan. Maybe he, I don't know, does a few things to try to get there. But I just don't like the coaching carousel, the constant coaching carousel. And if you can come up with an insightful, innovative plan to try to get more out of a coach, but keep his staff around without losing him, because if Harbaugh's upset about this and he doesn't want to coach, then you're going to lose him anyways. But if you can find out a way to incentivize and try to reignite a fire and passion, but keep continuity, I think that that's the right way to go. I kind of like how they're handling it.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break. Coming back on the remember, coming up next hour, another edition of Total Recall. But more importantly, it's a Friday, which means we've got a happy hour coming up at 1:30, which from what I heard, Hans, I don't know if you got any details on this, but it comes around back on us this go-around.
What's that?
Happy hour. Yeah. Happy hour. It's the Hans and Scotty edition of happy hour.
Why would we do that to ourselves?
Oh, come on. It'll be funny. Because we can poke and fun and have fun at our own expense.
Fun.
We can do it.
Can you give us a hint what the story
is? It's more fun when it's other people, though.
I know. Oh, okay.
That's probably going to be actually a pretty good
one. You guys did this to yourself because you didn't even use this for a total recall the other day. So it had to get used.
You told me to go to break.
No, I didn't.
And you said,
Much like you sabotaged this segment because you didn't want to talk about something, you sabotaged that too.
We're really going to do this, huh?
It's kind of interesting timing. Hey, Scotty, before you cut out, the Angora goat, its life expectancy is 12 years.
So it lived a full life then.
Yeah, so each breed of goat, I guess each breed has a different life expectancy. So, yeah, it lived a good long life.
Have you ever wanted to? Because I think you said you want to have your own chickens, don't you?
Yeah, I would like to have my own chickens.
Would you like to have your own goats?
Yes.
Out at the estate?
I would. I think goats are funny.
I could see you doing goat yoga, which is a big thing in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, there were a couple farmers, I think it was from Idaho, that started goat yoga. Wasn't it? Didn't we have like one of the creators of goat yoga on our show?
I think so. I think we did.
A few years ago. I wouldn't mind doing goat yoga. I like those goats that pass out. You know, the fainting goats? They're pretty funny.
Yeah, but so you're just going to have goats for entertainment purposes?
Yeah, what else? I mean, other than to keep your weeds down? Do they do much?
I'm just thinking of Adam Sandler's The Goat right now is all I'm thinking of.
Yeah. You know, goat. There was a guy from my neck of the woods in Idaho that he raised like 50 goats, and then he would hire them out to people to clean the weeds off their yard.
Oh, yeah.
Like lawnmowers. Wow. That's like a landscaping business.
Oh, because they'll come in and they'll just mow it. They'll take it all down.
Well, yeah, those things will eat anything. We had some neighbors growing up that had goats, and my dad was not a fan of goats. And one morning he gets out to go to work, and there was a goat on the hood of the car. And let's just end it here. That it didn't end well for neighborhood morale. It didn't end well for the goat. It was a bad situation.
What happened?
It's not important. That part's not important. I'm just saying that if you do have goats, make sure that they stay
on
your property.
The goat lived to tell about it, didn't he?
97.5, 1280 The Zone. Time for a quick break. Coming back, we'll continue on.
What happened to the goat?
It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best. Nothing's gonna ever keep you
down. This is DJ and PK. All brand new. In college at San Diego State, a guy texts in, my neighbors the U's thought about naming their son after Marshall Faulk. Thought about it? Why didn't they do it?
You're not catching on, Dave. What's their last name? You're just
naive. You're right. Yeah. Well, I was going for Marshall U.
No, no.
I got it now. Sorry. My bad.
You're so freaking naive, Dave.
This is why we love you.
You're not exactly a street smart guy.
Marshall U's not that bad.
No. I think it's more the last name.
So you really
name.
Like the Thunder and Herd, do you?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Welcome back, Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 12 to The Zone of The Zone Sports Network. You're hearing this song because there was an announcement that was coming on Monday that actually came a little bit early, which would be this Friday, in regards to Scotty and a certain award that will be given to him coming up on Monday that we weren't supposed to announce today but was prematurely announced. So I don't know how to talk about it, but I will tell you that Scotty.
I think we don't just don't talk about it. How about that? No, Lloyd.
Nobody's saying anything about the award. I mean, nobody's mentioned it. All we're saying is that there's an award coming on Monday that was supposed to be announced on Monday that was announced just earlier today, but that we will hold that announcement for on Monday. But we feel like it would be awkward to not acknowledge that that announcement was made today.
Yeah, you know, that's
so funny.
I will say this. You know what? When Bowler wants to announce something, I'm just going to get the heck out of the way.
You let him go, man.
Yeah, because he's the best.
You let 100%. Him go. But we will have a big party on Monday. This will be a lot of fun.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's there's a lot of objections to the vote count, and there's a lot of people looking at it and saying, no way that happened. It's got to be fake news. So I'm sure there'll be many, many recounts because it doesn't make any sense.
Do you think there's some hanging chads?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Do you? I wonder. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we should probably shut up.
Yep, yep, not the time.
Yep. All right, time for another edition of Sports Roulette. Take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to.
And we will load them up on the wheel, Lloyd. And we will spin it as soon as we get Scotty back. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties in Lubbock. I don't know what's falling apart in Lubbock, but his signal has held just fine over the last couple of days, and then all of a sudden, his signal decides that it doesn't want to hold anymore. So, Scotty, you were just saying, let's spin the wheel.
Yeah, let's fire up that wheel.
The GOAT.
Scotty, tragic news coming out of Annapolis. Retired Navy football GOAT mascot Bill number 33 has died. He was 14 years old. They called him Blue Eyes. He is the only Navy mascot, you know, the goat that's wrapped and painted. He's the only Navy mascot in the history of these goats that had blue eyes.
And, oh, wow.
And he has passed away. The Angora goat was donated to the Academy along with Bill 34 back in 2007. He reigned supreme as the mascot from 2007 to 2015. And at 2015, he took on a mentorship and retired and enjoyed retirement. They went into kind of a detailed story of what he did in retirement. And, Scotty, I think it's what you and I would love to do in retirement, but something that you and I will not talk about. The Academy notes that Bill 33 is will be remembered and memorialized in a plaque, and it's a pretty cool story for a little goat that had a dream.
Oh, 14 years as a goat. Is that like a normal timeline for, like, I don't know my ages for goats. I just don't know if that's right. If that's the normal lifespan of a goat. I don't know. Do you have any info on that?
Yeah, I do. That is right about in the median for a goat. That, you know, there are different breeds of goats, but the median is about 15 years lifespan. They can live up to 18, 19 years. But for the most part, the Angola goat is just right in that 15-year mark. The Anglo goat is actually 12 years. So he must have lived a pretty good life. It's good for him. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
The votes are in.
Well, obviously, the college awards were handed out yesterday evening, and I would say Alabama pretty much just cleaned up the slate. I don't want to go into many of them, but I will mention a few of them. And again, most of them include Alabama, and probably rightfully so. Alabama, the most dominant team in the country. The Broyles Award went to a former BYU Cougar. The Broyles Award is the best assistant coach in the country, and that went to Steve Sarkisian. The Bednarik Award goes to the best defensive player, and that went to Zaven Collins of Tulsa. I'm always interested in the Outland Trophy Award. My uncle won it years and years ago. My uncle Merlin won it. It goes to the best interior lineman, and this year it went to Alex Leatherwood of Alabama. The Davey O'Brien Award, best quarterback in the country, went to Alabama's quarterback, Mac Jones. And then the Walter Camp Award, which is the Player of the Year Award, went to Devontae Smith of Alabama. And I didn't think it was any surprise that the Home Depot Award, which goes to the Coach of the Year, which I don't think you should be able to buy that award. I wish that would be just some type of traditional award to one of the greatest coaches named after the greatest coach. But that went to Jamie Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina coach that put together a game plan that dismantled BYU. And I will tell you, just having been able to cover that game, watch it very closely, do pre and post, and give some thoughts on it, Chadwell is very deserving of that label. His team was just incredible. All right, there you go, some of your awards. Lloyd, once again, real quick, spin it.
If you can't beat them, extend them.
So we were talking about Harbaugh a little bit early in the show, and it looks like Michigan is going to be extending Jim Harbaugh. And Scotty, this is the way I'd like to see it done. And I know that maybe Michigan fans are done with him and they want to see him move on and blah, blah, blah. But we know that Harbaugh's a good coach. He's done a lot in his time in college coaching. So instead of Michigan running him off, it's looking like they're going to extend him 5 years, but they're going to drop his base salary from $8 million down to $4 million and then give him approximately $4 million of incentives to get back to the $8 million. I don't know if there's any more breaking news on this, but this morning when I was reading kind of what Michigan was planning to do with Jim Harbaugh, I love it. I love the idea. Keep some continuity. He's obviously a good coach. He just got to get the right players, and he can do some good things, but drop his pay down. Give him some incentive to win.
Let's see here, looking at his record at Michigan, I mean, they've won some games, and he's, overall, he at Michigan is 49-22, 34-16 in Big Ten games. They were 2-4 this last year, but I don't know if anybody really looks at what happened last year with any amount of credibility, but he's gone 10-3, 10-3, 8-5, 10-3, 9-4. And he's done good things for Michigan. He just can't beat Ohio State, and he can't have one of those magical years where you're in the college football playoff. And $8 million is too much. And so I like, you know, and frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if Jim Harbaugh didn't come in and say, hey, look at this. You know what? I want to be here. I want to coach here. Knock my salary down. Give me some incentives. And I guarantee, Hans, those bonuses and those incentives are going to be pretty easily received. Like, you know, finish in the top third of your division, stuff like that. Like, I'm sure he'll get back the majority of that money, but I don't hate at all making it performance-based.
This is what I'd like to see. I think that this is the right thing to do. And, okay, so you want him to beat Ohio State? Well, give him an incentive bonus of $500,000. And, you know, maybe he pays closer attention. Maybe he works harder on a game plan. Maybe he, I don't know, does a few things to try to get there. But I just don't like the coaching carousel, the constant coaching carousel. And if you can come up with an insightful, innovative plan to try to get more out of a coach but keep his staff around without losing him, because if Harbaugh's upset about this and he doesn't want to coach, then you're going to lose him anyways. But if you can find out a way to incentivize and try to reignite a fire and passion but keep continuity, I think that that's the right way to go. I kind of like how they're handling it.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break. Coming back on the, remember, coming up next hour, another edition of Total Recall. But more importantly, it's a Friday, which means we've got a happy hour coming up at 1:30, which I, from what I heard, Hans, I don't know if you got any details on this, but it comes around back on us this go around.
What's that?
Happy hour. Yeah. Happy hour. It's a, well, the Hans and Scotty edition of happy hour.
Why would we do that to ourselves?
Oh, come on. It'll be funny because we can poke and fun and have fun at our own expense.
Fun.
We can do it.
Can you give us a hint what the story
is?
It's
more fun when it's other people, though.
I know. Okay.
That's probably going to be actually a pretty good
You
one.
Guys did this to yourself because you didn't even use this for a total recall the other day. So it had to get used.
You told me to go to break.
No,
I didn't.
To,
and you said,
kept,
no, you.
Much like when you sabotaged this segment because you didn't want to talk about something, you sabotaged really, that too.
We're really going to do this, huh?
It's kind of interesting timing. Hey, Scotty, before you cut out, the Angora goat, its life expectancy is 12 years.
So it lived a full life then.
Yeah, so each breed of goat, I guess, each breed has a different life expectancy. So, yeah, it lived a good long life.
Have you ever wanted to? Because I think you said you want to have your own chickens, don't you?
Yeah, I would like to have my own chickens.
Would you like to have your own goats?
Yes.
Out at the estate?
I would. I think goats are funny.
I could see you doing goat yoga, which is a big thing in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, there were a couple farmers, I think it was from Idaho, that started goat yoga. Wasn't it? Didn't we have like one of the creators of goat yoga on our show?
I think so. I think we did.
A few years ago. I wouldn't mind doing goat yoga. I like those goats that pass out. You know, the fainting goats? They're pretty funny.
Yeah, but so you're just going to have goats for entertainment purposes?
Yeah, what else? I mean, other than to keep your weeds down? Do they do much?
I'm just thinking of Adam Sandler's The Goat right now is all I'm thinking of.
Yeah. You know,
hey, goat.
There was a guy from my neck of the woods in Idaho that he raised like 50 goats, and then he would hire them out to people to clean the weeds off their yard.
Oh, yeah.
Like lawnmowers. Wow. That's landscaping business.
Oh, because they'll come in and they'll just mow it. They'll take it all down.
Well, yeah, those things will eat anything. We had some neighbors growing up that had goats, and my dad was not a fan of goats. And one morning he gets out to go to work, and there was a goat on the hood of the car. And
Something tells me there was a pitchfork involved.
Let's just end it here. That it didn't end well for neighborhood morale. It didn't end well for the goat. It was a bad situation.
What happened?
It's not important. That part's not important. I'm just saying that if you do have goats, make sure that they stay
on
your property.
The goat lived to tell about it, didn't he?
97.5, 1280 The Zone. Time for a quick break. Coming back, we'll continue on.
What happened to the goat?
It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
This is DJ and PK.
In college at San Diego State, a guy texts in, my neighbors the Hughes thought about naming their son after Marshall Faulk.
Thought about it? Why didn't they do it?
You're not catching on, Dave. What's their last name? You're just so naive.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going for Marshall U.
No.
Oh, I got it now. Sorry. My bad.
You're so freaking naive, Dave.
This is why we love you.
You're not exactly a street smart guy.
Marshall U's not that bad.
No. I think it's more the last name.
So you really like the Thunder and Herd, do you?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We are the champions, my
friends. And Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your day.
So
I'm here in Lubbock, Texas. Hans is back in Salt Lake City.
So one thing we haven't addressed is, you know, you got the money, and we don't know what you're doing with it yet. So what are your plans with the money that you're going to get?
The money? What money?
That was a reference to an earlier question.
What are you going to do with the money? You going to donate it?
You going to donate all that money?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. That didn't make a lot of sense. Sorry, I got my mind stuck on making sure that this the stuff stays connected here, because it's getting a little gears getting a little antsy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's gonna cut out at any moment.
Probably will.
Oh, we're just giving you our time, buddy. Lloyd and I are in an awkward position because we want to talk about it and congratulate.
I want to shout your name from the mountaintop. Congratulate you.
We're just kind of uncomfortable because we...
Oh, you're uncomfortable.
Well, there's a big award coming on Monday, an announcement on Monday that was announced earlier. and so we don't... Like, Lloyd and I seriously have been planning ways that we're going to celebrate this on Monday. We just... or having to do it a little prematurely, but without doing it.
I say we just continue to do the show and pretend that just didn't happen.
All right.
How about that?
Absolutely.
By the way, Steve Klauke just tweeted out that he tried the McRib for the first time, and he will not try it again. Your McRib's taking a bit of a beating, man.
To each his own. Here's the thing I'll ask anybody. Did you really give it a good try? Did you order three and stack the meat three high? Did you ask them to add extra onion and extra pickle and extra mayo with the barbecue sauce?
That sounded like a poem.
Why?
Very poetic, because you started rhyming there. Did you give it a try? Did you stack it three ribs high?
Well, just make sure you're giving it the best effort, not just a little effort.
So if you're going to do it right.
Right.
Go all out.
And there is a right way to do it.
Is it something that I will order consistently? No, but it was fine. I thought it was pretty good. I tell you what, the ribwich or whatever they call it down at the store. Now that's a sandwich you got to go try.
That's the real deal. If they've still got it down there, it really is. It's incredible. They put that big slab of rib meat in there and throw a couple pickles on it, some fantastic barbecue sauce. It's delicious. That's at the store. The Ribwich, a unique original. And I would ask for the coleslaw on it.
Hey, I was looking at there's a list that has been published of the highest payouts for upcoming non-conference football games. So coming up in 2025, UConn will play at Ohio State. Ohio State will pay them $1.95 million. And then you've got a run of Alabama. So next year, in fact, how about this? Alabama on September 25th will play Southern Miss $1.9 million. And then 2 months later, they'll play New Mexico State $1.9 million. That's $4 million that they are using just to pay for non-conference opponents to come to play at Alabama in 1 year.
That's how desperate they are to not play somebody that would actually challenge them.
Yes. Then in 2022, Utah State's going to pick up $1.91 million to go to Alabama. Looking forward to that game, September 3rd.
September 3rd. September 3rd. So that's the opener.
Yeah, that's the opener. And then 2 weeks later, they'll play University of Louisiana Monroe, $1.91 million.
In 2 years.
Two years from now. This is crazy. They're spending $4 million a year for non-conference opponents.
You know what they're doing is they are providing the blueprint of how you go about your non-conference scheduling.
Yeah.
You schedule cupcakes. You schedule teams that you know that you can beat.
Problem is, all these other teams need to schedule better to look better than Alabama, because Alabama is going to be your front runner no matter what.
Yeah, but you can't schedule a loss. So look at 2019, their non-conference was Duke, New Mexico State, and Southern Mississippi. 2018 was Arkansas State and Louisiana Monroe and the Citadel. 2017 was Fresno State, Colorado State, and Mercer. 2016 was Western Kentucky. USC. That was 2016. You remember that? USC and Alabama opened up, and all of us had our hopes set that maybe the Pac-12 could represent themselves, and USC lost 52-6. Man, unbelievable. But Alabama they've set the standard. So, Lloyd, yeah, you're right. Like, everybody's got to try to – they've got to try to build the resume. But right now, an undefeated team – in the Power Fives, they're going to get there.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're an undefeated team and you do that same thing that Alabama does, and Alabama's in the same place you are, they're going to take Alabama over you no matter what.
They will.
They're not doing anything. That's why I think teams are trying to get that better team to improve their resume, because if they're put head-to-head with Alabama's resume, they're going to lose no matter what.
They will. You just have to hope there's an extra opening, you know, but – I don't know, Scotty. I think Utah needs to adopt it. I think that the Pac-12 needs to adopt it. Go to an 8-game schedule.
Yeah. Yep.
And start scheduling absolute cupcakes, pushovers.
And Alabama is willing to pay for it, is what's really crazy in this. I mean, that's $4 million. Now, granted, there's these teams that need that money, especially coming out of the pandemic, to kind of help with their budgets. But that $1.9 million for Utah State, I know that was in place 2 years ago. That was pre-pandemic. Alabama's been willing to pay this for quite some time, and it's remarkable to me that they're going to pay that kind of money just for two games.
I want to try to be as careful as I can with this, but there's something really disturbing and disgusting about two middle-aged men on the phone, one from Alabama and one from university about to get beat, discussing millions of dollars to bring a team that is understaffed and undermanned to play against essentially a professional organization, and that university will be taking $1.9 million to put that team, said undermanned team, in harm's way of said basic professional team so that they can collect $1.9 million on the blood, sweat, and tears of that team. I think it's disgusting. I think it's an embarrassment. I think stuff like this has to stop. And if you're going to do it, then at least offer me some money for hazard pay. Because I know when I go to Alabama and my university's getting $2 million off of it, I'm getting maybe $3 million in the upcoming week and $20 on stipend. But you're putting me in front of Alabama that is essentially a professional team, and you're collecting money for it. Thank you. That's very kind of you. I'm glad that middle-aged men can make the decision on my 19- and 20-year-old body to put me in front of a steaming train, in front of a diesel. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but those players don't think like that. I mean, when you went and you played at Alabama, you weren't thinking these guys were going to just blow right past you.
It was a different day, and we were an equivalent team. Alabama wasn't Alabama back then. But Scotty, no, hold on, Scotty.
Played some of these other teams.
No, hold on. It doesn't matter. At that time, BYU was still, you know, coming off the 84 championship, and we still had a lot of pride from the 96 Cotton Bowl and felt really good about ourselves. So, and maybe BYU still feels that way, but we're not talking about BYU. We're talking about some universities like Mercer that these athletic directors are going back and forth with. I'm not even talking about a Utah State as much as I'm talking about a team like Mercer or the Citadel or some of these teams. You're damn right if I'm a player on that team and somebody's announcing, hey, you're going to go play in Alabama, I'll be like, well, that's exciting. I get to go play in their venue. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is going to be embarrassing. I hope I don't get hurt. I don't like it.
Yeah, but you got to. It's the world we live in, where you got to find a way to have an, if you want an athletic program at your school, and if you want to not just have a football team, but also other sports. It's a pay to play. I mean, you got to generate revenue somehow. And if you're not bringing in, you know, $5 million a game in ticket sales, you got to find a way to generate that money somehow.
Well, I at the expense of athletes, I just don't like it. Find a different way. Cut coaches' pay. Cut the program if you have to, but don't put me out there to be embarrassed 74-0 and potentially injured. You know, this is a complete mismatch.
On that side of it, Hans, but if you're cutting the program, though, that some of those players aren't going to be playing.
That's
anywhere.
What I'm saying. No, absolutely.
They won't be playing anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to find a way to proceed without taking $2 million from Alabama to put it. And again, I'm not specifically talking about Utah State. Now, I did not like what happened last year or the year before with LSU. I did not like that.
The timing and of the LSU game and LSU being, you know, a behemoth of a team. You're right. The timing and everything, that put Utah State on bad trajectory after that game. You're right. Can't argue that.
But, Scotty, even right now, if I'm BYU, if I'm a player for BYU and they come into the locker room and tell me, hey, we're going to Alabama, I'm excited. You're absolutely right. Even at BYU, I'm excited. I'm sure to a large extent Utah State is probably excited. But you can't tell me that Kent State players are sitting there thinking, or Citadel players, or Chattanooga, who Alabama played in 2017 or 18, that they're sitting there like, yes, let's go. Let's go beat them. You know, I just think that grown men contracting an understaffed, undermanned group of young men to go play against Alabama is disgusting. I don't like it.
I don't like it's interesting because you can – I don't like the system. You're right. I don't like that you have to do that. Unfortunately, it just seems like that's the situation we're in right now, that's the only avenue that some of these schools have to generate some money for their sports programs. And so I don't like that this is the world we're in. Unfortunately, it just is. And so everybody just accepts it, and that's the way you have to do business. And it would be fun if there was some, no, let's not do this. Let's try to do this instead. And that would be much preferable. And frankly, if I were an athletic director, I would take less money to go and play like Utah State next year. They're going to go to Washington State. Now, I'm sure the revenue is much, much lower than what you're going to get at Alabama, but I would rather keep my team out west, play against a team that's a little bit more comparable of my skill, and come away maybe with some confidence, and in some cases coming away with a win. But I would never want to go to Tuscaloosa and play Alabama. Never in a million years.
No.
Want no part of that.
And so I want to make it really clear. I don't want people to draw in because you had mentioned BYU. I'm not putting BYU in that group because I feel like BYU should be manned enough to go in there and play that game. It is more of an incorporation of teams like the Citadel and Chattanooga and that type. That's what Scotty was talking about. Those are the teams that are taking the $1.9 million to basically put their lambs out to the slaughter. And I don't like it. I never will. And as an athletic director, I could not agree to it. If somebody said, hey, we got to come up with $2 million, go find a $2 million payday, I'll do everything I can. I'm not going to put them out there. And if I've got to look at cuts, I'm not putting my 85 scholarship players on the field with that Alabama team.
Hands and Scotty, we'll continue on. Your 1 o'clock hour coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.